Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King will join us at the bottom of the hour. Our weekly visit with Peter King, none better than SI.com senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief. I want to get his reaction nationally on the Cardinals signing Dwight Freeney. They made it official about an hour ago. Also, I think it's very fair to have a conversation about if the Cardinals are pretenders or contenders at this point of the season. They've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. The Rams pushed them around. You know, the Cardinals are putting up great points. It's fun to watch. Eric, you were telling me this morning the Cardinals are the number one rushing team in the National Football League on yards per carry.
5.0 yards per carry through the first part of the season. Okay. Last year, Brad, they were dead last, 3.3 yards per carry.
So, but again, it goes back to they haven't played. I mean, I think the Bears are getting better. But
yeah, they haven't played the best of competition.
You look
but
at their competition.
Hey, progress is progress.
Progress is progress. I'm not demeaning that, but I think it's very, very fair. Fans are going to say, oh, come on, they're great. They're this. But you just got to take a step back and tap the brakes and say, what do we really have here? You know, what was it, the Giants a few years back, that they were just awful, and then they went on a hot tear and they go into the postseason. And there's teams that how they play in September and October. Even some of the Cardinal players have said to me, it doesn't really matter till we get into mid-November. I think Fitz has even said that publicly. You know, let's just see where we are. They're doing what they're supposed to do right now. But I think it's very fair to have the conversation. I'm not suggesting they're a bad team, but are they pretenders? It only takes one game. We saw what happened last year, Carolina. Oh, my gosh. What just happened? The season's over. Yeah, like that.
And things are so bad in Detroit, there are whispers this morning that the Lions might actually think about trading Matthew Stafford. So,
well, and, you know,
They haven't won a game yet, so maybe it's time that, you know, you wipe the surface clean and start all over again, but man.
Well, it's when they caught him. It's when they caught him. So Peter's going to be with us. Mike Bercovici was on the TV show yesterday, and I felt like it was good enough, and talking with Eric, we're going to bring that back for you because you haven't seen it here on the stream side. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports, and we're very proud of that partnership. And, of course, our content, we're very proud of it as well, as sports360az.com. If you haven't been to the website to check it out, do so as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. I mentioned the TV show. A month now, we've been on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmatt's Football AZ airs Monday, Wednesday, Thursday nights at 6, 10, and 1 a.m. Great guests, and it's all Arizona-centric on the Cardinals, the college, and high school, and recruiting, and all that stuff. It all rolls in together as one. With that said, let's get you caught up to some things in my mind in the world of sports today. So the Cardinals play at Pittsburgh this Sunday morning. I watched the game last night. It was a riveting Monday night football game. Sometimes Monday night football, I'm just done. I've seen enough. You know, I have a life. You know, I do have my fantasy team. Sure I do, like all you guys. But I can't sit there at 10 a.m. anymore until 9 o'clock at night and then burn another night and then burn Thursday nights. And the quality of the Thursday night games usually is just awful because these teams' players are getting beat up and it's just grinded out sausage. And but last night, you know, the first half, I was sitting with my wife, the biggest Charger fan in the world, not figuratively but literally, and she had her Chargers stuff on and she's all cheering. And I sleep with this woman, so I have to pretend I'm interested in how the Chargers do. And at the end, I was. Coaching is that's what I do when I watch games. I'm like, oh, throw the ball. And Vic throws a touchdown. And she looks at me and just gives me this glare. She's like, you know, we grew up in San Diego. Yeah, but we're living in Arizona now. So I don't care. I don't care. They're moving anyways. And so it comes down to the final play of the game last night. And guys, that was about as good an ending because the clock operator screwed up in San Diego again. This isn't the first time they've had problems in San Diego with the clock. And the clock ticked down. The Steelers should have had more than one play. And how there's all these people with this league sitting there and nobody notices that, hey, you know, you might want to put 12 seconds back on the clock or 5 seconds back on the clock. And so it comes down to one final play and they hand the ball off to Le'Veon Bell. Not hand off. They shoot it to him out of the Wildcat. Snap it to him out of the Wildcat and he takes it into the end zone. It was a terrific ending. It was a great football. So now the Steelers fly back, an emotional win, and they meet the Cardinals this Sunday. And, you know, on the surface, I was watching Michael Vick last night, and even Gruden was saying, you know, you may want to get him out of there, and, you know, let's go deeper into the bench. And, you know, Michael Vick accounted himself nicely. I still have this little itty bitty Michael Vick dog thing going on. I don't know where that comes from, why I have that. It's been years. I'm a believer in forgiveness and second chances, but I don't know. When I'm watching him after the game and they're interviewing him, it was just like, okay, I got to do my media thing and I'm going to say all the same canned things. I'm going to get out of here and go about my business. I don't know. I got to be a better person than that. Eric, are you the same way when you see him? It's just kind of like there's something still sort of there.
It's always in the back of your mind, but that's been a while ago. So,
like when he had the long run, that's what Michael Vick does. Mm-hmm. The Chargers lost contain, and Vick comes up with this huge run.
But for the most part, I mean, he looked like a backup quarterback for the most part. But when the game was on the line, he absolutely had to make plays. He made plays.
Oh, he was nails. And Le'Veon Bell, you know, here's a guy that you look at that was suspended at the start of the season, and he comes out and he's running the football well and doing what he does. They're a good team. I don't think they're a great team. I think they're a good team. They're an efficient team. Their defense is really good. So the Cardinals on Sunday, I think this is one of the better teams. St. Louis, to me so far, in watching teams play, the Rams appear to me to be the best team that the Cardinals have played. The Steelers are not going to have Ben Roethlisberger quarterback. That's a huge loss for them. So the Cardinals are catching a break. After that, they play the Ravens. The Ravens aren't very good. If you're trying to convince me that the Ravens are good, you're just fooling yourselves. They have a good quarterback, and that's about it. And then they have the Browns. I mean, come on. So this is where you should stack some wins on. So that's on my mind today. I can't get enough of the, in terms of the Dwight Freeney contract, I'm going to get into that with Peter a little bit later on the national stage, but I can't seem to get past all the stuff around Steve Sarkisian. At some point, you have to advance the story, because I know you guys want to move forward, and what's USC going to do? But man, it seems like Pat Hayden was just derelict of duty. Remember Pat Hayden came down onto the field? He got a text message during a game last year, and he came down onto the field, and he was part of the college football playoff committee. And that's embarrassing. You know, you look at his hirings, and Lane Kiffin was an unmitigated disaster. Staying in-house with Sark ends up being a disaster. Pat Hayden decided to tie his wagon to a guy that was a drunk. And, you know, I saw where Todd Marinovich actually was at the dinner where Sark was out of control. So, and Todd Marinovich, of all people, was at the Salute to Troy pep rally in August, and he went up to university officials at that dinner and said, he needs help. He told the LA Times, quote, I knew he was intoxicated and I wanted to protect him. I went to the people in charge and said, we've got to stop this. It's Todd Marinovich trying to be a voice of reason here.
And he should. I mean, that should be someone that Steve Sarkisian looks up to, because Marinovich hit rock bottom.
Absolutely.
And now has rehabilitated his life. And that's more important than football. That's the thing, Brad, that a lot of people, they just want to pile on Sark.
Sure.
And make it about football. This is so much bigger and so much more important than USC, reestablishing the legacy, bringing back their tradition, winning big games. It's not all about that with Sark right now. It's about getting him right.
But I think it's about Pat Hayden more than Sark. Even.
Yeah, and he should be blamed.
Eric, I mean, can you give Pat Hayden the authority to go hire another football coach? Let's say it was a coach here in our state. And let's say the two sitting athletic directors did the absolute same thing. I mean, Greg Byrne and Ray Anderson, I could not imagine them just kind of sitting idly by and thinking, well, you know, we'll get them back on the field and or in the hiring process. I can't imagine Ray Anderson or Greg Byrne not saying when they interview somebody, so what exactly happened up there? And be going way beyond interviewing somebody. In this day and age, you can hire search firms and pay them $200,000, which I honestly think many times is just a joke. You have to do your own work and go find those people. I tell people when I go speak on social media that when James Harden was drafted, I ended up having six NBA teams call me, reach out. They want to know, who did he run with? How was he with the media? How was his social presence? Okay, that's just a basketball player that they're investing millions of dollars into. And that was very easy to answer those questions on my end. And if I didn't know the answer, because I wasn't there 24/7, but from a media standpoint, he was fine.
We're at the end, Brad. We're approaching the end of 2015. The Seahawks hired Pete Carroll in January of 2010. Think of what has happened in that window with USC football. Go down the list of coaches that have come and gone, whether it's full-time coaches, interim coaches.
Well, what would be? It would be Kiffin, Oregon.
Yeah, Orgeron, Sark, and then there was another, whoever was replacing Sark also coached a game, coached the Las Vegas Bowl at some point after, you know, in one of those years when they played Fresno State. They've gone through just, they've had a handful.
Four coaches, right?
At least. They've had four or five coaches in 5 years. And Saturday when they play Notre Dame will be the fourth head coach in the last four times they've played Notre Dame. Think about that.
Well, and what I see from a distance is this whole naivete of you have to have somebody who's a Trojan. It's like I hear that whenever Arizona State has an opening for their football job. We have to have a Sun Devil in place. I don't know. Point out one that's really doing well. That's not a swipe at the program. It's just a fact. So I think the names that are showing up now in the LA Times today. Well, first of all, let me go back on this. Players told media outlets in LA that Sark showed up lit to meetings. One player tweeted out, Sark showed up lit to meetings again today. And now they're digging around up in Washington. And I don't begrudge anybody who's going about their business. This story has to have context to it. How long has this been going on? But I think truly, if you were to point a finger at somebody, it's Pat Hayden trying to take care of his friend. And was he an enabler by turning the cheek? And I remember when we talked during the USC game, Sark could be in trouble. Sark could be in trouble. Well, he came over here and there was no trouble. Other than he may have been, I don't know this, he may have been drunk on the sidelines when it happened.
And speaking of Pat Hayden, this came down just on Twitter from College Football 24/7. The USC president said he is looking forward to working with Pat Hayden as AD for, quote, many years to come. So there is your public acknowledgement. Pat Hayden, we are with you. We support you moving forward.
Yeah, but and how many of that comes from a president who's probably had all the people. And I covered Pat Hayden. When he was with the Rams, Pat Hayden was a really sharp dude. He was a Rhodes Scholar when it was the Los Angeles Rams. But I just can't imagine that Ray Anderson or Greg Byrne would ever put themselves in this type of position. Those two guys know what's going on. They've handled things. They've been on big, big stages. And to look at Pat Hayden over there, maybe Pat Hayden is just better off being the guy that he's an attorney that shows up and is the fundraising guy, not an athletic director. You're going to let him have another hire? Mike Bercovici on the other side. Peter King joins us live in about 10 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's talk ASU football for a couple of minutes as we continue on towards Saturday's showdown at Utah with Mike Bercovici, quarterback for the Sun Devils, coming off an impressive win over Colorado. What is the biggest difference since the USC game? I'm being real blunt here, but that's what everybody's asking, so you tell me.
Yeah, I think we just really collectively came together as a team. Obviously, we got hit in the mouth against SC, and it's really how you respond. It might be corny, but that's the honest truth, and all we can control is that we're going to go out and practice. We got the hardest working coaching staff in the entire country, and we're finally playing our ball. We're playing special teams, we're playing defense, and we're playing offense. So it's fun. Saturday nights are fun right now.
Yeah. We have Jake Plummer on every week, and he said it's just a matter of the team needs to just kick the coaches out and speak as to what needs to be said. You did that at halftime the other night. Usually it's Todd Graham, but you spoke to the team the other night. Looks like you're taking more of that leadership role on.
Absolutely. Don't have to kick the coaches out, but I understand what Jake is saying about just kind of taking over control. I mean, this is our football team for these seniors, for these leaders on this football team. This is one shot. We only got one opportunity to have this senior year. And I think guys are really starting to understand that, we're halfway through the season right now. We have to take this team by the horns, and we really just got to focus every single day. Games aren't just won on Saturday. They're won during the week, and that's all leadership.
Tell me about Tim White. I mean, I could go through each player, but Tim White has come in and has made a real impact. At first, it was, okay, a track kid that can play some football, but he's much more than that.
Yeah, no, Tim is no track kid that plays football. He's a football player that plays track. I think that needs to be changed around. He's a high-energy kid. I mean, he walks through the hallways running routes. He's got a big smile on his face. He's just one of those guys that you're happy to be on a football team with, and he prepares probably better than anybody on our entire team. He's always going 110%, and that shows on Saturday. The game looks slow to him out there on Saturday nights.
Utah, what do you see? What do you think as you look at this matchup, a team that's ranked in the top five, rarefied air for them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Utah has definitely had an incredible start to their season. I mean, this will be, for some of these seniors, the fifth time playing them. And we've beat them for the past 4 years, so we know that they have a chip on our shoulder when it comes to them playing us. But they play fast, they play strong, they're a physical football team, offensive, defensively, and special teams. So all we got to do is focus on ourselves, and at the end of the day, whether it's 1 point or 30 points, we got to come out of there with a win.
Mike, what do you make out of the Pac-12 South? I used the word cannibalism back at Pac-12 Media Day when we saw you and Simone out there. And I think it's really proven to be true. Having a loss, two losses, is not going to be any great shame within this conference.
Yeah, absolutely. It truly is, I feel, and I keep saying, the best conference in football. Every single week, doesn't matter if it's the South or the North, I mean, you got to bring your A game. But, I mean, you see the type of teams that are emerging, SC, UCLA, Utah. You know, it's fast, it's physical, the championship is on the line every weekend.
But you are playing your best football. I mean, from where you were at the start of the year to now, you can see incremental improvements in every phase, offense, defense, special teams. So I would think that the team would have to be encouraged as to where you are now.
Absolutely. I mean, our motto is embracing the grind, and that's really kind of the epitome of what we're in right now. We're six games in, going into our seventh. It's time to, you know, everybody's going to be got bumps and bruises, and it's going to be what team is mentally tougher and trained the hardest, and we feel that's our edge.
Got about 30 seconds. How do you think you're playing this year?
I think our offense is playing great. As we're playing at a high level each and every week. We're getting better and better, and offensive line's playing great. Receivers are catching the ball. Running backs are running. Tight ends are playing outstanding. So we're going to be just fine.
And the quarterback?
Quarterback's a manager. We got there's 10 other people on that field that make me allow me to throw touchdown passes. So it's fun to be the quarterback of this unit right now.
Good for you. Appreciate the time of the visit. Good luck at Utah. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Mike Berkovici, and that was on Last Night's TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. And I liked it at the end. How do you think you're playing? And it goes into quarterback or goes into wide receiver, tight end, line, right? It was fine. It was a veteran answer. He didn't want to take much attention. He didn't want any attention at all. I guess we're having Kyle Whittingham on the TV show on Thursday night. That'll be fun.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
You can ask him when he's going to be packed up and head to USC and if he found a house and if he's ready to get a different color red polo shirt. And
I wrote a column today, I don't know if you saw it yet, about how both Rich Rod and Graham should be in the hiring spree this year. I don't know if they're going to get a job, but look, Arizona and Arizona State, both programs are in much, much, much better shape under these two coaches than when they first arrived. And South Carolina is a better job than Arizona or Arizona State. If you don't agree with me, then you just aren't dealing with reality. The SEC network alone makes it a better job. If you don't think the Pac-12 network and its lack of distribution isn't a problem, you are mistaking yourselves. And in Tempe versus South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, you are the only game in town. I don't like that excuse, but it's a fact. When it's Alabama and South Carolina, or you're recruiting against Georgia, and you're trying to convince kids to come here, you're not fighting with all the other distractions that there are in Tempe. Now, do I think Arizona State and Arizona are in better shape now? Sure they are, because there is actually some leadership in the athletic department administration from Ray Anderson and the people that he's brought in, Greg McElroy and others, that wasn't there. And Greg Byrne has done a tremendous job with what he's had to work with and inherited down in Tucson. But Rich Rodriguez would play well in Los Angeles. Rich Rodriguez would play well in South Carolina. Rich Rodriguez will play well in a number of places. If Kevin Sumlin were to leave, Cod Graham would be all over the A&M job. Are you kidding me? R.C. Slocum is down there. Sean Slocum is sitting here on this staff. The week that they played ASU, we had R.C. on. The Mutual Admiration Society was just dripping all over the place. So it's not that I'm sitting here looking at this and saying, well, those two guys are here for life. Neither one are going to be here in a few years, 5 years. I don't know. There are better jobs out there right now. That's my point. And they've done about as well as they can do here. Spurrier, by the way, so you know, yesterday was just one of the craziest days ever in college football. It really was. I think in the morning, Eric told me about Nick Chubb being out at Georgia, and by the end of the day, that was like the fifth story of importance. When Spurrier resigned last night, that's not a surprise. This is not a surprise. I think what was a surprise is he said today that he is interested, Eric, in coaching high school football. He's not done coaching. He's just done coaching in college.
I am not retired. I'm resigning, is how he put it at his press conference.
So he could go to another college job. But it's 70
Dennis Dodd was the one that put it on Twitter that he would like to maybe coach high school, which would be just
so cool. Oh, I think
so
that's
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'd just be so cool.
That's awesome.
Old ball coach and the visor under the Friday Night Lights.
Sure.
Yeah, count me in on that. How'd you like to be a quarterback? You're going into your senior year. Hey, I'd like to introduce you to our new offensive coordinator, Steve Spurrier. Have you heard of him? Yeah, I have.
But think about it from this way with Steve Spurrier. Okay, he's not going to go into the NFL.
Not again.
And the NFL grind is a grind. Like, I admire seeing Carson Palmer sitting next to Tom Moore, because Tom Moore has been around longer than Earth, almost, it feels like. And then that whole coaching staff is, they're like fine wine. And it's great to see guys that appreciate the game and can handle that. But there is a demand on your time. And, you know, for a guy like Spurrier, why go chase kids in wherever it is to convince them to come to Columbia and sitting in living rooms and eating bad dinners and great desserts. I don't know. And you can just go coach high school. To me, it feels like, and we do high school, college, and pro here. We do football on all three levels. And we're around all three levels. And I've just seen the grind and the demand on some of these NFL coaches that are now former coaches. I admire Jeff Rutledge over at Valley Christian High School. He was the quarterback coach for the Cardinals when they went to the Super Bowl. That's right. The quarterback coach for Kurt Warner is coaching over Valley Christian here in the Valley. And I think he really enjoys it. And I've seen others that have gone from the pro grind to the college grind and say, you know what, I'm just going to go over on the high school side and I'll be just fine. It's not for everybody. But Steve Spurrier... If Steve Spurrier picked up the phone today and called the SEC Network and said, I kind of would like to do a game, I think they'd find a way. It's kind of like how they just moved everybody aside for Tim Tebow. Absolutely. Come on in here. Knock yourself out. Peter King is next. Dwight Freeney is going to be reunited with Cardinals defensive coordinator James Betcher. And what type of marriage is this? The deal on the contract is great. He has a $1 million sack incentive. He gets $200K for every four sacks. So like when you see him get a sack, it's $50K. He is brought here to do one thing. We don't care if you drink the Gatorade. We don't care what, if you bat a ball, that's not as big a deal as a sack. I'm going to talk to Peter King about that next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Let's talk Arizona Cardinal football for a couple of minutes with Peter King. He joins us every week, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the MMQB. If you've not checked out MMQB, you are missing out. And make sure you give yourself about 20 minutes of time because it's terrific reading. Dwight Freeney signs with the Arizona Cardinals, and your reaction is...
I love that signing. Absolutely love the signing. Because he wasn't ready to leave. He wasn't ready to leave the game. Reminds me the other day I was talking to Josh McCown after he throws for 457 in Baltimore. And I said, man, last year was such a nightmare for you in Tampa. Why didn't you just, you got four kids in Charlotte. Why didn't you just take your ball and go home? Go coach your son, you know? And he said, man, I just wasn't ready. I didn't want to go out like that. And I think this is what Dwight Freeney feels. He didn't want to go out. His last year being borderline ineffective, hurt, beat up a little bit in San Diego. He knows that he can still rush the passer, 20 snaps a game. And I think Steve Keim and Bruce Arians did a fantastic thing for this team. Because what's the one thing on defense that they're probably missing or they're probably light on? They're light on edge rusher, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're not light on safeties. They could use a corner, but everybody could use a corner. But they're a little bit light on edge rusher. And I think if Freeney gives them between 10 and 20 snaps a game, that's a real plus for this defense. And personally, this guy is a great guy to bring on your team. I remember last year, I went into San Diego during training camp, and I asked him if I could sit down with him and watch some tape for how he gets ready to play a really good tackle. We sat down and we watched tape of him playing against Duane Brown of the Houston Texans, one of the better tackles in the league. We spent 45 minutes or so, and I wrote this, kind of the science of being a pass rusher. I wrote it for the MMQB last September. It'd be a really good read for your listeners who really want to get to know Dwight Freeney, what makes him tick. And he's a little bit more of a scientist than you would think that a pass rusher would be. But anyway, I just got a big... I was really, really happy to see that he's going to get to play and play in a fun environment like Arizona. So I really like that signing.
What's interesting, Peter, is when you look at the signings, the late signings by Steve Keim. Remember, I had you on during the summer. You were not big on Jermaine Gresham. Chris Johnson comes on board. You really like that one. Dwight Freeney comes on board. He and Chris Johnson have the same contract, 1 year, $870,000. But the incentives... for Dwight Freeney, $1 million sack incentive, $200K for every four sacks, $100K thereafter. This is all about, we don't care if you drink the Gatorade. We don't care what else you do. You're here to do one thing. We're going to pay you to do one thing, and that's it. It's a really interesting contract.
Well, they know why they got him. You know, he's going to be put on the field, and they're going to tell him, go get the quarterback, period. And I think a lot of times that some teams, some coordinators, some head coaches make life a little bit more complicated than it needs to be.
Mm.
And I think in this particular case, everybody knows that if Dwight Freeney signed anywhere this year, it was going to be to do one thing and one thing only, play 15, 20 snaps a game, I think max. And just get in your sprinter's stance and go find a way to get the quarterback. So, I'm bullish on it.
Peter King with us for a couple of minutes, the MMQB. Okay, the conversation nationally has taken a tone on the Cardinals from what I've been able to read in social media and just people asking me, are the Cardinals a pretender or a contender, given who they've beaten, how they were beat by the Rams? Can you make an assessment of this team as to where they are right now?
Well, first of all, I think that the NFC is a really, really weird conference this year. Okay, because let's just look at what the NFC is. Nobody in the NFC East is very good. I wonder if anybody in the NFC South is very good. I mean, you know, 4 out of 5 games, the Falcons have been behind in the fourth quarter. And so you can say that, well, they're really good because they never say die, they everything, but they're certainly not in any way dominating people. Carolina, I wonder if they can score more than 20 a game consistently. So I don't know if anybody in the South is that good. And, you know, the Seahawks, for a team with the best defensive reputation in football, I mean, they just let the Bengals come back from 24-7 at the start of the fourth quarter to beat them. So I don't know that anybody in the NFC, nobody in the NFC is flawless. So you say that, Now you look at the Cardinals. Scored 100 points more than their opponents through 5 weeks. The Ravens won the Super Bowl 3 years ago and scored 54 more points than their opponents. So that's no small thing to outscore your opposition in 5 weeks by 100 points. I watched a lot of that second quarter in Detroit the other day. I don't care who you're playing. I really don't. If you're scoring 28 points in 12 minutes against anybody, your offense is a darn explosive offense. So the way I look at this team right now is everybody in the NFC is a little bit flawed. Green Bay right now is struggling a little bit on offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good time to be in an imperfect conference, because there is no perfect team in the NFC right now.
Cardinals play at Pittsburgh on Sunday. No Ben Roethlisberger. Vic on Monday night. Terrific play at the end of the game by Le'Veon Bell. But when you size up the Steelers at home against Bruce Arians and the Cardinals, what do you see this Sunday?
I think one of the difficult things for Arizona this week, back-to-back road teams, they've had their routine disturbed out at this kind of real luxury palace in West Virginia, the Greenbrier. I'd be curious to see what their reaction is to staying there rather than going home and then just flying back to Pittsburgh. But I think two things about the Steelers. If I were them, I mean, what I take away from that Steeler game the other night or last night is that I don't think Michael Vick, I don't think Todd Haley and Mike Tomlin really, no matter what they say, have a lot of faith in Michael Vick to do anything. I mean, if you watch the majority of that game, they didn't let him do anything. It was Ben Roethlisberger who said, throw the ball to Marcus Wheat deep on the double move. So I'm not sure that I really trust much of what they do offensively. And at some point, you know, there's no way that they're going to hold Arizona down scoring. So, I mean, I would just be concerned, quite honestly, with Michael Vick beating you with his legs, because he certainly doesn't look like he can beat anybody with his arm anymore.
Before I let you go, we're talking with Peter King. A last question. With the USC job open, a lot of speculation about Chip Kelly. Is there anything to that from your view?
I mean, look, I haven't heard anything about Chip Kelly and his desire to leave Philadelphia. I would be extremely surprised. But then again, I was in the middle of the Nick Saban thing in 2006, and he told me flat out, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 days before it leaked, that he was going back to Alabama. You know, he told me flat out that I'm here. I'm here for the long haul. And then he left. So, look, hate to say it, but I don't trust a lot of what coaches say, especially about their own situations. And so I look at this and I say, it would be very, very hard for me to believe that Chip Kelly would leave, but nothing is impossible for me to believe once it comes to coaching.
Peter, appreciate the time and the visit as always. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
Peter King with us, as always. Good to catch up with Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com senior NFL writer. He joins us every week, and it's good to catch up with Peter. Boy, just gushing over Dwight Freeney. Just, wow, all over the place on Dwight Freeney. But I don't see a downside to this signing. I really don't. They have 8 sacks, which is 23rd in the league. And outside of Calais Campbell, is there really anybody who's put the fear of God in you? And this goes back to looking at the franchise through the first 5 weeks. And early in the season, it was Bruce Arians saying, we haven't done bleep. And we had some fun with that. And then it's them taking care of business at Detroit, and I heard him after the game, and he wasn't happy with some things, and I really appreciate that. There is no reason sitting here in mid-October to say we've got this all figured out, and this is a Super Bowl contending team. It just isn't. And we've talked about it. I expect a Super Bowl contending team. With this aging roster, you cannot not sit there and say we're just happy to get to the playoffs. This is an all-or-nothing deal here in Arizona. This is not a rebuild in Chicago. This is not just feeling good about having a quick start like Cincinnati. If you don't make it all the way to the Super Bowl, really, this is a lost season. I know that sounds harsh, But in hearing Peter talk about the NFC, I happen to agree with him. I don't see a team as we sit here right now. And so it's about making the tweaks on your roster. It's about dealing when you lose Alex Okafor with an injury. It's about making change as the season progresses. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, a few other things on my mind today. The LA Times had a big write-through this morning about the USC coaching job. And they actually, Eric, did you see this about Jim Mora and the USC job?
I did not. What did Jim Mora have to say about the USC
job? He didn't say anything. It was the LA, it was Chris Dufresne, mm-hmm. who's one of the best.
Yep.
One of the best. And he put out his list of coaches and he put Jim Mora. And he said, Jim Mora has all the leverage. Jim Mora has beaten USC. Jim Mora, private school sitting over there, throw a lot of money at him, turn everything upside down. Now I know it's Jim Mora, but
stranger things have happened.
So that caught my eye today. We have the Suns backdrop up because Kevin Johnson is in the news cycle a little bit today. And this has actually been a story that has percolated over the last, I don't know, few months. And it really reached a point where Kevin Johnson, when he was with the Suns, was accused of sexually abusing a girl, and the tapes have been found. And I remember when this all took place, and it was very hush-hush and very secretive. And now the young lady is in her 30s, and she's a mother of three, and she's decided to come out and talk about what happened years and years ago. Not that it makes any difference that it was years and years ago. It still happened. It's he said, she said. There was a 30 for 30 on Kevin Johnson that ESPN was going to air, and they have now shelved it. Decided to, no, we're not going to put it out right now. So that's it's more than a little disturbing. There's been quite a bit of stuff around KJ, and I liked Kevin when he was here, and I actually tried to get to Sacramento to do a couple stories on him and his foundation and was greeted rather coldly by people up there. I don't know if reputation precedes, because I think it's very fair to ask, hey, there's been some things that have been you've been accused of. And you have to ask the question. You can't just go up there and say, oh my gosh, it was so great to see you play.
And I wonder if this happened at a different time in today's modern era, if it would have been handled and looked at a little bit more seriously. In 1997, sure. The New Times was well respected, but sort of like I won't say an underground media outlet. But then TMZ came along and started breaking and legitimizing these kind of fast food news. And if this would have happened now instead of back in the late 90s, maybe this would have had some completely different traction. Because you're right, the Johnson thing has sort of a way of like appearing and then it just,
disappearing.
It just sort of disappears. It's still out there, but it's just way, way out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But ESPN felt uncomfortable enough.
Yep. Yeah,
they blew people. They pulled it. They're doing the one on USC tonight, which I think is ironic.
Yeah, timing's decent, I guess.
Yeah, pretty good.
You know who the executive producer of that is?
Huh?
Keyshawn Johnson.
Boys.
I know. When I heard that, it sort of tempered
yeah,
me.
So now I'm thinking I'm just going to get a puff piece about how great USC is and how media guys were all bad.
Well, the whole spin is USC can't control what happens at Reggie Bush's house 150 miles away in San Diego. And when I heard that quote, I chuckled to myself because USC wow. knows everything that's happening with all of their players.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
They may
it
not
all
want to
out.
Admit that, but they know what's happening.
They had it figured out with their football coach. Yeah, they knew what was going on with their football coach. Of course they did. Let's let them go out there and coach, and he's still drinking.
I mean, I'll watch it, of course, because you know my in-laws went to USC and were sort of a pseudo USC family. My wife still sort of roots for them.
What college your wife go to?
She went to ASU.
She went to ASU.
She went to ASU.
She didn't want to go to USC.
She wanted to.
She took a wrong turn on the I-10, or
she was wow. How can I say this? She did not. She was
wow. You're really searching here.
She was a cookie cutter 4.0 student from the Valley.
Ah.
And they get several thousand cookie
million.
Cutter 4.0 students from the Valley.
Got it. Does she hate them today?
I'm just gonna leave it at that. I don't know if she does. There's definitely animosity from her family though, because
really
there's a legacy of Trojans.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now there's a Sun Devil involved.
Now there's a Sun Devil too.
Wow.
And her brother went to ASU too. So
yeah, Sounds pretty deep.
I handled that pretty well, didn't
you
I?
You did.
I somehow managed to.
When you go back and clip this and say, hey, somehow, Brad just hung me out to dry today.
No, it's fine. I mean, it was on me to answer it correctly, politically correctly.
No,
you did. So,
if you're the Dodgers, so I want to get over to this because the Mets beat the Dodgers and just not beat them, just crushed them last night. And Chase Utley was 6-for-18 against the guy on the mound for the Mets, and they didn't play him. So I'm looking at this like, well, there had to have been a death threat. There had to have been something.
No, there was. Chase Utley deserves the electric chair. Didn't you see that sign that one of the Mets fans had?
I missed that one.
Yeah. Nice effort.
I saw the they were bouncing between TBS and TNT last night. But I did hear the this was breaking news. Here's the introduction of Chase Utley. What were the Mets fans doing? Well, of course. Yeah.
Wow, they booed.
They booed.
Really? I would have never guessed that.
Boo's the ultimate sign of respect. Anybody who gets
Dodgers
all
wound up, are in bad shape, and wow, the Cubs win. Arrieta doesn't pitch his usual Arrieta away, and they still find a way to beat the Cardinals. So
Kershaw's going tonight. Now, Pedro left this open that if the Dodgers get eliminated early, that he could see Mattingly getting bounced. I bring this up from the Diamondbacks' point of view. So do you want Mattingly to stay there? I mean, they're going to keep throwing money at people. Kershaw is 1-6 in 9 postseason starts. He's lost 5 straight postseason starts, and they're throwing him tonight on short rest. So I've got to watch. You know, that's why I'm going to miss Keyshawn's infomercial. Now that you've told me that he's involved, it's an infomercial.
Is it too early to look ahead to 2016 and think, wow, the NL West maybe, if the Diamondbacks can take a couple more steps, is it time for a different team than the Dodgers or the Giants to reach the playoffs?
Well,
Colorado's a mess. The Padres are looking for a new manager. Their game plan for 2015 went completely sideways.
Right.
And the Diamondbacks made a 12-13 game improvement over last year.
No, they're interesting.
They are interesting.
They are anybody who says that it's just the same old Diamondbacks is just being lazy. They're fooling themselves. But you know, the point on the Dodgers is, if Mattingly gets blown out, it's like seeing what Joe Maddon has done with the Cubs. If you find that right manager, like I think Chip Hale has done a really good job, but I have to say that having Tony La Russa sitting upstairs,
huge,
and having Dave Duncan sitting around, and having Dave Stewart, uh-huh, it's not like they just brought him in with a bunch of kids around him.
Deshaun Watson does a lot of good things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't hear of.
Right. So, but I'll watch that tonight.
And by the way, Matt Williams bounced as Nats manager. Bud Black is getting an interview in Washington,
and he
D.C.
should get an interview.
Good manager.
Would Matt Williams do? Where's Matt Williams going to end up?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I thought about calling him about coming on the show, but
I think he'll have to recycle himself and go be a
bench coach, or base coach,
something like that.
Well, and it's got to be the right fit for him because there were people. I liked Matt. I had no problems with Matt. There were times when Matt got grumpy with me, but give me a baseball player who doesn't get grumpy.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. I don't know if he still has ties in Cleveland. I don't know his ties in San Francisco. I mean, there's places I'm sure that a guy like Matt Williams, he's here in the Valley, but maybe managing is not his deal. I know that sounds pretty benign, but some guys get in that chair and they just can't get it done. I'd heard his press conferences and they were the same thing over and over and over. We have to get better. We'll get him tomorrow. To put this behind this, that's not going to work in this day and age. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt.